We do give you a warm welcome this morning to the morning service. We're glad to see you. For those that are in the church, for those at home listening online, we do give you a warm welcome in the Saviour's name. We're glad to see our brother Raymond Kerr back with us this morning after his operation, his illness. So we welcome Raymond back. We're glad as well, very glad this morning to give a special welcome to our preacher, the Reverend Trevor Baxter. He's now retired, but he's currently in charge of the Market Hill Free Presbyterian Church. I've known Trevor, for the Reverend Baxter, for a long while, for he used to be my Sunday school teacher. So that'll maybe give you an idea how old he is and how old I am. But I do have enjoyed many times of fellowship and his friendship down over the years. He celebrated a landmark there just Saturday week ago. He was 50 years married, celebrated his 50th anniversary. So if you didn't work out how old he was by me as a Sunday school teacher, well, you can work out the rest from that. So we do congratulate him and his wife on that landmark occasion. He will be with us again this evening in the gospel service. And his wife, Mary, Mrs. Baxter, will be singing a couple of pieces in the gospel this evening. Immediately after our service this morning, we will have the communion service. All you have to do is, and Mr. Baxter will not be going to the door, he'll just be leaving the pulpit, coming down to sit here at the communion table. If you're not staying, just feel free to leave. If you are staying, those upstairs just remain where they are. You have your own communion, and the folks downstairs remain seated where they are as well. And then as soon as possible thereafter, we will commence with the communion service. It's for all who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Saviour. The meeting tonight, as I've said already, the gospel service at 7, preceded by the church prayer meeting in the youth room just upstairs here at 6:20 p.m. to 6:45. We do exhort you to come, encourage you to be in attendance, and pray for the blessing of God in the preaching of the word this evening. Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, a Bible study and prayer meeting from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and the speaker on that occasion will be Mr. Andrew Irwin, who is due to commence his studies for the ministry. He'll be going into the college in September, so do remember that. Do plan to come and join with us for that 1 hour on Tuesday evening. Our own minister will be back from his holidays. They finish on Tuesday, so he'll be back in full operation on Wednesday, from Wednesday the 1st of September. Just a couple of things, reminders for the elders. The session meeting on Wednesday night, 7:30 p.m. That notice has already gone out, brethren, if you could remember that. And then on Friday night at 8 p.m. the presbytery meeting by Zoom, and no doubt the link will be sent out for that as well. Next Lord's Day, family worship at 11:30 a.m. the gospel service at 7 p.m., preceded by the church prayer meeting, 6:20 to 6:45 p.m. And our own minister, the Reverend Smiley, will be back with us to be the preacher at both services. You'll be made most welcome in the evening service. The soloist will be our sister, Mrs. Natasha Atchison. And next Lord's Day, the first Sunday of the month, it will be our building fund offering. So do remember that, do take note of it, and do come with your tithes and offerings for the work of God. Just a couple of advance announcements. The Sunday school will recommence in the will of God Sunday the 12th of September at 10 a.m. So parents, please take note of this and encourage your own and other children to attend. And then an advance notice for the Young People's Fellowship. There's a joint youth fellowship fun night Saturday the 11th of September at 6:30 p.m. The venue, McKee's Farm Shop, and there's sports, games, a barbecue, and an ice cream van. So if that doesn't encourage you to go, I don't know what would. If you're planning to attend, please inform the youth leaders or the minister by later this coming Saturday, the 4th of September. So do remember that. I've already booked with Jonathan a doggy bag to keep me some goodies from that night. So young people, do remember that. It's especially for you. Plan to attend, please. Just some other announcements. Bereavement within our own family, our own church family, in the last week, at the start of the week, Mr. Edmund Patton, the father of David Patton, and the grandfather of Mark Patton, both members of our committee, passed away. Thank God he was saved, and he went home to be with the Lord. So to Mark and David and Doris and the wider family circle, we do offer them our Christian love and sympathy and assure them of our prayers at this time. And just remembering as well the sick ones of the congregation, we bring them afresh to you to remind you of them. Our sister Mary went through her first treatment this week. I think it was quite severe for her, so do remember her as she recovers from that, and then for the further treatments that lie ahead. Our sister Irene McBurney, that request has gone out. Special prayer for the doctors, the consultants dealing with her case, that wisdom will be given regarding future treatment and surgery. Do remember that. And then on Tuesday night, I was trying to find out this morning, but we haven't had any change. Her brother James Dalzell is recovering from COVID. And so we trust that you will remember Jim or James at this time. Our sister Isabel Gilmore is home again from hospital. Remember Carl Stripp in the nursing home. And some other people that have illness that, for their own reasons, privacy, don't want things to be known. Do remember them. There's a lot of our members are sick and laid aside. And we trust that as a family, a church family, we will remember them, each one, before the Lord in prayer. I think these are all the announcements that I have to make. We do give to the Reverend Trevor Baxter a very warm word of welcome. He's no stranger to us. He's been with us before. We've always enjoyed his ministry, and we look forward to the preaching of the Word of God in the house of God this morning. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. I know when he mentioned the fact that I was 50 years married, people were astounded, because there's no way you're saying that a fella that looks like you look could be 50 years married. Well, when you're only 12 when you were married, it sort of helps. No, it's good to be back again. I got my wife from this part of the country many, many years ago, and she has stuck it well. A man said to me one time, he said, you know, you'd have been far better building a garage, because you could have backed out of that. But there's no backing out of where you're at now, and that's the truth. Folks, we're going to start, please, by joining in hymn 539 is the one that's in the book. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. I understand you remain seated to sing, and these masks that I'm sure, like me, you hate the sight of, but we have to be in obedience to the powers that be. My church, I belong to Tandragee. As soon as the people get through the door, 98% throw the masks away until they're going out again. And they stand to sing, and there's no masks or nothing. Every word's different. Margaret Hill's the same. But most churches follow what seems to be a sensible way, the way that you do here. So we'll sing this hymn, keeping our seats, please. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. For Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. ask you to stand, please, for the opening prayer this morning. Let's all pray. Gracious, eternal Heavenly Father, it is with a great degree of thanksgiving and praise that we come into thy presence today. Having, Lord, that boldness, we enter into the holiest even by the blood of Jesus, not by works of righteousness that we have done, not through any verity or merit or value in us, but we come, Lord, on the basis of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. When he took my place, he bore our sin, carried our sorrows, paid the debt that we could not pay. And we thank thee, Lord, for the liberty and the freedom we have in the Lord Jesus. Set free by the Son of God, therefore we are free indeed. We, Lord, we bless thee that we are loved, a people loved with everlasting love, that we're led by God's grace, that love to know. And the Spirit breathing from above, he has taught us it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace, oh, this rapture all divine, in a love which cannot cease. I am his, and he is mine. Lord, we ask for your blessing today on our gathering here in this church. We thank thee for those that have come to worship thee, to hear thy word. Grant, Lord, will be an encouragement to every heart, that the word of God indeed will be precious and will be with value to every heart. And even if there's someone not right with God in this building, Lord, that you'll speak to them, draw them to yourself. We remember the Lord's table at the conclusion. Lord, we pray that very especially you'll draw near. May thy presence be really felt among us as we remember his death till he come. We pray you'll bless Ballygowan Church, Lord, all its people. Remember those that are laid aside, those that are sick and weak. Today we pray that you'll bless them, you'll encourage them, you'll draw very near to every heart. And Lord, you'll undertake in a special way for the work and witness here in this place. We do pray for the minister and his wife that you'll bless them. You'll undertake, Lord, for session committee, for Sabbath school teachers and youth workers and children's workers, and every aspect of the work of Christ in Ballygowan. Lord, bless it. Enrich this fellowship. Strengthen their cords, lengthen their stakes, and bless them. Bless the stand they seek to take in these days. So abide with us now, we pray. We read thy word, turn to thy word, sing thy praises. Be pleased to come and help us, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we sing another hymn, we're going to read the scriptures, please. We're reading from the book of Nehemiah. Book of Nehemiah and the chapter 4, please. This was one of the two books that we first, as students, studied with Mr. Douglas many, many years ago. The book of Ezra and Nehemiah. And they're very special books to me because it was the first ones we ever studied. And of course I saw things at that time in classes that I never saw before, and I was greatly blessed through that. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. He spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end on a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Cover not their iniquity. Let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat, and Tobiah, and the Arabians, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem, and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places when she shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore said I, in the lower places, behind the wall and on the higher places, even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which built it on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders were one. Every one had a sword girded by his side, and so built it. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place therefore ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Otherwise at the same time said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us, and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one put them off for washing. Amen. And we know and believe the Lord will bless to our hearts today the public reading of his word for Jesus' sake. Hymn 548, please. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helpers other lives to bring? 548, keeping our seats, of course, to sing.
Thank you.
Turning, please, in the scriptures to the chapter we read together, a most interesting and informative passage of God's Word. With our Bibles before us, shall we just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Lord, we're conscious that we need Thee. We know that we can go through all the ritual of preaching and ministry. We can fill in the time. But, O God, we want Thee to speak this morning. We want the Lord to have a word for us, to encourage the people, to bless them, sustain and help Thy children. To this end, help the preacher. Draw near, we pray, and abide with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Not my intention, folks, to keep you a long time. I have to travel away back across country some 40 miles. And I don't like missing my salmon dinner on Sunday. So just in case I'm ever in your house and you want to feed me, you know what I like. And that'll do all right. But we do trust and believe and hope that the Lord will bless the word to our hearts. There's one sure thing in this life. And it is, if you strive to do right in the sight of the Lord, you'll not always be popular. A famous author said of some of his books that were not ridiculed and scorned and criticized. He said this, and I quote, "I did not strike hard enough, or the blow would rebound." He felt he hadn't said it in the right way, the things he wanted to say. And people let him off with it. The Lord Jesus, of course, tells us in Luke 6, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you." Now, not everyone was happy with Nehemiah. A man called of God, undoubtedly, unquestionably called of God. Indeed, even commissioned by King Artaxerxes. All his co-workers were ready to build. And then, just at that particular juncture, in came the devil to do his work. I was thinking about that and reminded myself of what it says there in Matthew's Gospel. And chapter 3 and the verse 17. When the Lord Jesus was baptized, it says, "A voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" What a blessing. What a testimony to the Savior from heaven itself, from the very mouth of God himself. Now remember that in the original scriptures, there were no chapter divisions the way we have them in our Authorized Version. And immediately that happened, it says this in chapter 4, verse 1. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness." He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Isn't that amazing? The Spirit of God led the Lord Jesus Christ into the desert place, into the wilderness, to be tempted. Not that he would ever fail or would ever fall. And mind you, when the devil came to the Savior on those three occasions, the response of Christ would be important for you and me to bear in mind. How did he beat the devil? Well, he could have destroyed him with a word. But what the Lord did was, he used the scriptures. The three references quoted by Christ from the book of Deuteronomy was all that the Lord used, and it's all that he needed. Folks, there's enough power and authority in the Word of God to defeat the devil in your life when troublesome times come. And remember, there's a sovereign God behind it all. The wee hymn says, "My Father planned it all. always bear that in mind. You see, when God begins to bless, that's when the devil will really intensify his attacks. I have three things I want to leave with you. Just three very simple thoughts. First of all, in this event here, in this chapter, you have what I have called an unwilling few. Look at verse 10 of chapter 4. Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." Opposition. Discouragement from within, remember. And notice too, it was Judah. Not just any tribe, but the leading tribe from which the Savior himself would come. But the opposition was from within. You know, the Church of God can deal pretty well with outward opposition. That's what you expect. But it's a different thing when the opposition comes from within. When the spirit of Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence, and others like him, when that rises up within the assembly and the work of God, it's not so easy dealt with. If you take the time, and we'll not do it just this morning, but in Genesis 49, verses 8 through 10, you'll see what it has to say about Judah. I remember, just it's entered my head, it's not in the notes, but many years ago, you may remember the Reverend Robert Bradford, MP for South Belfast. Very, very nice gentleman. I met him. And I listened to his maiden speech in the House of Commons. And he said, in the course of the address, referring to Great Britain, he said this: "Great Britain, of course, is the great lion of the tribe of Judah." Then the thought just struck me, this man's a British Israelite. Without getting into all the details of what that means, if you want to know, have a word with James. He'll tell you all about it. But I didn't like that. And I wrote him a letter. And I said in the letter, "Sir, congratulate you on your election," sort of thing, "but to refer to Britain, a godless land, a sinful land, a land that has long departed, to refer to this nation using one of the titles, the Son of God, I think is not right. I might have used the word blasphemous, I can't remember. But give him his dues," he wrote back to me. And he said, and I thought this was a play on words just, he said, "I said, the great lion," he said, "the Lord is the lion of the tribe of Judah, but I used the word great." Whatever difference, that even makes it worse when you think of it. But that's the tribe from which Jesus came, that discouraged or sought to discourage Nehemiah and the people. The top people in the church. Bad enough when it comes from the, let's say, the lower ranks of the lay congregation, but when it's the top people, when it's the leadership, when it's those that should be to the fore in progressing the work of God, it's very sad. You see, they were put off, first of all, by the enormity of the work. They didn't only use the term rubbish, but much rubbish. The word means dry earth or debris or dirt. And they couldn't cope with it. You remember the Lord Jesus when he commissioned the disciples? It wasn't a commission just for a village or a town or a city. It was the whole world. There's much in the whole world of rubbish. But these 11 men were commissioned to begin the work of evangelism. And do you know, 30 years after the day of Pentecost, I think it was 30 years from memory, the world was evangelized. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that what the enemy said? That they had turned the whole world upside down, the Roman world upside down by their doctrine. They just set forth with the gospel, that's all. That was God's weapon for the hour. They didn't concern themselves with the much rubbish in this world. And neither should we, folks. They didn't say we can't. We have no stomach for this. We have no strength to do this. But look at verse 6. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. Watch this bit. For the people had a mind to work. Thank God for the people who had the mind to work. Is that you and me this morning, beloved? Do we have a mind to work? Or are we concerned the enormities, the work so massive we can't do it? These stones that built the walls of Jerusalem were massive. There were no JCBs or earth-moving equipment then. It was just old-fashioned manpower. But isn't it amazing how quickly change came? From the people having a mind to work, to the cry going out, we can't do it. We're beat. It's too much. You know, there are plenty of starters, not so many finishers. I knew a young Christian girl many years ago. When God saved her, she really got into blessing. It was lovely to see. She was almost on fire for God from her conversion. But some of us felt that she'd gone too quickly, too soon. And so it turned out. Not that she went away into the world and lost out with God in that sense. Her salvation was always precious. But she tried to do too much and too fast a time. It was too much. You have to have a mind to work, but you have to have strength for the work. You need to come apart and rest a while. And if you don't come apart, you'll come apart. One of our students who's no longer with us, he used to say, "Ah, holidays and vacations for ministers. The devil doesn't take a holiday." Well, my response to that's very simple. When should a Christian ever do what the devil does? And the Lord himself said to the disciples, "You're weary. Come ye yourselves apart and rest a while." Your pastor, just like yourselves, like all of us, does need a break at times. That's the way it is here. Some were beginning to quit. Their confidence was shattered. Their spirit was broken. Yes, they had built half the wall. Now they had lost heart due, it would seem, to the enormity of the work. And then you've got the excuses of the workers. And that's all it is. It's just excuse. Like the man we read off in the scriptures. I bought land. I married a wife. Just excuses. An unwilling few. Oh, beloved, it would be my hope. And I'm near the end of my life. I know that, relatively speaking. I don't know how long I have, or any of us have. I know of another birthday coming up this Wednesday. Just 50. That's a young man yet. No, a bit longer than that. So I don't know. But it would be my prayer and hope. And hope of the leadership of God's work in the Free Church. I know this much. That the work would continue. We wouldn't lose heart. We would work on to see the advancement of the cause of Christ. There's not only an unwilling few, of course. There's an unrelenting foe. Chapter 4, verse 11. Our adversaries said, oh, friend, there's always adversaries, isn't there? They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst of them and slay them. And here's the whole program. This is what the thing's all about. And cause the work to cease. That opposition became vocal. Thomas Carlyle said, quote, ridicule was the language of the devil. And here it's used. God's work is often scorned and ridiculed by the devil. Verse 1 reminds us that they mocked the Jews and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Even a fox going up can destroy this wall. This is a wall made of massive brick, tons weight. A fox is going to break it. And notice very subtly, they talk about the term sacrifice. You see, that's hitting at the very core of religion. What is our mainstay as a people? It's the sacrifice of Christ and Calvary's cross. And the enemy will always hit at the cross. Feeble Jews, feeble Christians. How feeble it is for you people to pray and have meetings of prayer and preaching. It's feeble. You're all failures. You'll not revive the stones. You see, the devil's very good at reminding us all of our past failures. I love that wee verse of the hymn. What though the accuser roar? Of evils I have done, I know them all, and thousands more. Jehovah findeth none. Doesn't matter what the devil says about your past failures. It's what God thinks that matters. And the Lord Jesus is stronger than Satan and sin. And Satan to Jesus must bow. Oh, remember that. The opposition was vocal. It was violent. Verse 7 and 8 tells us this. Listing them all. The breaches began to be stopped. They were very wroth. All these tribes of infidels. And conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. To hinder it. To make an error. That's what the word means. Think of that. The enemy will unite if it causes him to hinder the Lord. Let me read you a verse there in Luke's Gospel. Chapter 23. And verse 12, I find this most significant. It says, the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together. For before, they were at enmity between themselves. They were enemies. But in order to hinder the cause of Christ, you see, they united. Think of all the enemies. That evangelical religion, that reformed religion has in our day. All the apostasy of the age, the liberalism, the modernism, the charismatic confusion, the false gospel and the peddlers of false gospels. They're all at one. I read a magazine that was handed to me years ago in Philadelphia in the States. It was an article written by a very prominent charismatic preacher. You'll know who he is. His name's Jimmy Swaggart, who was caught on, by the way, as we would know. But he used to run the biggest church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The tourist board said more money was generated from Jimmy Swaggart's church than anything else in Baton Rouge. Well, he wrote an article in which he launched a bitter attack on John Calvin and the doctrine of Calvin, we call Calvinism, something that's very precious to this preacher's heart and to this church's soul. And here's what he said. I can see in the writings of Calvin the slimy trail of the serpent. And further declared, John Calvin has been responsible for the damnation of untold millions of souls. Imagine a man like Calvin, a giant, attacked in such a way by an adulterous man, but a charismatic leader who's still operating. Oh, he's a lovely singer, you know. He's a great musician. Oh, yes, so he is. And I've heard him preach and seen him preach on video years ago at campaigns where multitudes of people were present and he preached the gospel and it sounded great. We need to know the enemy, folks. And we need to contend for the faith. The true servant is not above his master. And if they do it in Jesus, they'll do it in you and me. I have to finish verse 20. The latter part says this: our God shall fight for us. An undaunted faith, that's the last thought here. No fence sitting about this. Nehemiah was not put off by the words and actions of men. Rather stands forth and exhorts his people there in verse 14. I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them, remember the Lord which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Told them all, even the leadership. He became quite violent towards some of the leaders at one point. But he's one who exhorts his people. Way back in the days before Texas was a union state in America, there was a terrible battle fought. It was a massacre. It was at the Alamo, where thousands of Santa Ana's troops slaughtered almost, I think, 400 Texicans, as they were called then, including Davy Crockett, Jim Boy, and others. And from that time, in every conflict American soldiers fought in, they had a cry. The cry was, remember the Alamo. And then when Pearl Harbor happened in 1941, was it? The cry then became, in any battles the Yanks were involved in, was, remember Pearl Harbor. Well, here's Nehemiah's battle cry. Remember the Lord. That's it. Don't forget him. Remember his promises, his purposes, his providences, his provision, his power. Take your eyes off the rubbish and let's get them on the Redeemer. I trust God will help us to do that. In verse 14, it was fighting. In verse 9, it was watching. In verse 16, it was ready for action. I continue in the work of this wall. All my servants were gathered together for this work. You'll notice in all of this, Nehemiah is praying. We'll not read the verses, verse 4, verse 9. This man is continually exercising the ministry of prayer. Many prayers, and I think there's 11 of them in the book, ejaculatory prayers, they're just spontaneous. In the midst of something, you just hear Nehemiah, "Remember me, O Lord, and help me." A man of prayer, preeminently, and before anything else, a man of prayer. Folks, do we pray? I trust we do. And we look to the Lord for the battles ahead and trust him for all that's to come. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. We're going to sing a hymn, please, in closing. After we sing the hymn, I'll pronounce the benediction. And then anyone who has to leave us, please feel free so to do. And the rest will remain to remember the Lord's death. The hymn numbered 526, "Keeping Our Seats, Please." Father, we thank thee for our time today together. We thank thee for the preciousness of the word, for the instruction from the word. Write it on all of our hearts. Abide with us as we stay for the table. Go with those who must leave us. Lord, spread your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease. And at our Father's blessed abode, our souls arrive in peace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.